The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended of the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I knew that it would be no easy feat, and I wasn't sure I had the fortitude. But after some time procrastinating by doing laundry and finally getting to the season finale of Survivor, I thought to myself, it's now or never. I had to go. So I put on some warm clothes, socks and boots, and made my way to my car. And as I started the ignition, I thought, what am I doing? I'm just not ready for this. So I decided to put the car in reverse and back out of my garage, and off I went anyway. Halfway there, though, I panicked, and I lost all motivation, and I thought, I'll just turn left, and I'll go make a quick hospital visit first. So after the visit, still delaying in the inevitable, I had some words with myself, and I decided that a walk in the fresh air would help gain some perspective, so I drove to Rib Mountain instead of where I needed to go. So I walked up Rib Mountain, and I walked down Rib Mountain, and the sun began to sink, and I knew time was running short. So finally, the moment had come. I hopped on the freeway, and I drove to the place I had been avoiding all day, the grocery store. County Market, to be specific. Now, normally, I don't avoid the grocery store, but the Saturday before Christmas, I did not want to go. For as much as I love being around people and serving people, I have a hard time with crowds and traffic. Perhaps tonight you might understand that feeling. I knew there would be lines of people, and I was feeling a little Scrooge-like as people were gathering what they needed for Christmas dinner. But I had to go, because I know about myself that I am no good without breakfast. So while I was rushing through the store, why oh why does the yogurt have to be at the back of the store, to get the minimum essentials, something in the cart of a person walking by me caught my attention and slowed me down. I could feel my heart begin to burst. I literally stopped there in the aisle between the tortillas and the spaghetti sauce to take it in for a moment. Of all things, what I saw in that cart was a deli tray of taco dip. Yes, taco dip. There in the middle of my stress, at the end of such long avoidance and anxiety, I found some peace and joy and wonder in a rather unexpected place. Thank you for laughing at my jokes, choir. Now, before you think I'm crazy, I knew that taco dip on its own is not all that moving. But to me, taco dip is Christmas, or rather, home on Christmas Day. You see, when we were little, my brothers and I and our parents would walk across the street to our neighbor's house. The Sullivans were also without extended family nearby on Christmas Day. And so there we would be, as stand-ins for one another. And there would be the taco dip. Two trays of it. They were large trays. It became the center of our gathering. And around the taco dip, we would laugh and talk, and we would enjoy Christmas together. We even had a ritual of setting up fake plastic bowling pins in the kitchen. I remember they were red. And dividing ourselves into a couple of teams, we would play what came to be known as Christmas Kitchen Bowling. And in between the rounds, we would eat some taco dip. There was other food. There were other games. But what I really remember was right there in the middle of things. As time went on, the Sullivans moved away. We all grew up. Our traditions changed. My brothers would take turns being with us and with their wives, families for Christmas. And we stopped giving each other gifts about 15 years ago. And when I became Lutheran, my senior year of high school, I would usually go to church at my church, no longer sitting next to mom and dad at their church. Some years I'm able to be home on Christmas Day, other years I am not. But at each Christmas in our family, we know one thing is for certain. There will always be taco dip. Maybe you have your own central tradition, a special ornament on the tree, or opening one present on Christmas Eve, or gathering in a place of meaning, a certain type of cookie. Some years, Christmas might be more difficult than others. Some years, Christmas might feel peaceful. And again, we gather here at church in the midst of choirs and candlelight. We gather here each and every year on Christmas Eve and are centered again in God's great love story for humanity, but specifically a love story for you. Tonight we share in the story of Christ's nativity. And although the world has changed, and traditions have changed, and people have been born or grown up or come or gone, the story of God's breaking into the world never changes. We light candles and we sing together in familiar words of Silent Night and Go Tell It on the Mountain. We hear about the same setting in history. Augustus is emperor of Rome. Quirinius, governor of Syria, and we remember once again that the good news of God comes in the midst of empire and political rule and time. We imagine the journey of Joseph and Mary on a pilgrimage to Bethlehem to be counted for the census because the world is taxed. Jesus, the child born to them at an inconvenient time, at an inconvenient place. Inconvenient because of the systems of the world. And still, in the midst of all of that was a changing world. And still, God with us was born. Heaven breaks in with the angels singing Gloria to the lowly shepherds below who are aroused from their ordinary tending of sheep and take in with their own eyes and ears a message of hope and peace on earth. Peace for those whom God favors. The story broke in that night, in the middle of things, in the middle of their lives, in the middle of the night shift. And as they hear good news of great joy for all people, that God has come in the child whom the prophet Isaiah had told, they were changed. So they do what changed people do. They respond. They move. They don't hesitate or procrastinate or avoid. They go. They see for themselves. And sure enough, they find the child in the manger. These lowly shepherds see that Almighty God comes into the world just as it had been told them. So together again, we gather around this story. But we meet this story, we hear this story as different people. Since last Christmas, we have changed. We have grown. We know new things. We've made different connections and choices. Health might be different. Relationships might be different. Work might be different. Dynamics and stressors may be different. But the story we are centered around is not different. And that is good news, because this story is a reminder that God comes to bring peace and hope and life through all of the changes. Again, this night we hear that God comes to experience solidarity with the fluid reality of the human experience. Again, we gather around a story and we ponder how God's experience of humanity joins our experience of God. That this child who was born would grow to feed the hungry, to fold in those who were on the edges, the outcast and the foreigner. This child would grow, would heal the sick, and would make the blind see, would make the hopeless hopeful and the despairing joyful. Jesus would cause the world to change so much that in fact his kingdom would bring a world that turned things on its head upside down to remind us that God is not only in the powerful, but especially found in the least of these, in the weak, and the lowly, and the poor in spirit. This story, God's presence constantly breaks into our hurried lives. And while it is dependable, it also has the capacity to change our lives for the better. For when we are distracted by our scramble to live life and to avoid death, God comes and surprises us with love. And God comes and catches us off guard and surprises us with light. When avoidance causes us to do things that are not helpful, or when we run away from where our focus should be, God still comes. And we catch glimpses of his love where we least expect it. In grocery carts, for instance. Tonight we're invited again to respond, to move, to be changed by love. May the message that is shared by the angels to the shepherds also be yours, even if just for a moment. May you feel that peace that passes all understanding, that unwavering peace, that unchanging peace that Christ came to bring. For when we could no longer on our own find peace, God sent his only Son into the world. And in the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find a holy centering, a steady faithfulness, an unchanging love. May God hold you in that love, now and always. Thanks be to God. Amen.